Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning, Northern California. Welcome to the California Adventure District Radio Show. My name is Nigel Skeet. I have no idea where my co-pilot, James Mazzotta, is. He must be lost in the, I think, the Dutch Bros drive-thru. That seems to be his regular thing. Welcome to Saturday morning. Thankfully, it's not 110 degrees out there. It's Saturday, July 31st. So this is the California Adventure District radio show. We decided to have a radio show. This is radio show number 11, one louder than 10.
Oh, fantastic. We're turning it up to 11.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I'm very happy to have some guests here in the studio who I've known you guys, both of you guys, for quite a while now. We have Mr. Rocky Slaughter with us. Say hello, Rocky.
Hello, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we have Mr. Tony Giovanello with us.
Yeah, remember what Ken Murray used to say when he started his radio show?
No.
It's a great day to be in Redding, California.
Yes, it is. Actually, right now it's not as bad. I mean, I think it's going to be 102, but at least it's not 115. So a few weeks ago, we had a great show about Humboldt, the state of Humboldt and the growth that's going on there and how they are anticipating, just like we have. A huge amount of growth, right? Humboldt State just got their polytechnic designation. So their anticipated, student enrollment, for example, is going to go from an average of 5,000 and a high of 8,000, maybe to 15 to 20,000 and, over the next 4 or 5 years. So they have to anticipate that kind of growth alone. Just like Shasta County, they've gone through a huge influx of, people leaving LA and the Bay Area specifically coming and just gobbling up all the real estate and just moving and planting their flag. And so they're going to be dealing with some kind of housing shortage of some sort soon, but more than anything, their average, home prices have gone through the roof. And I think they have even less supply than we do. Out in Humboldt, when a house comes on the market, I think it's five to 7 days tops, and that's it.
Right. Boom. I think that's what the market is here right now. It seems to be everything's selling like hotcakes.
Right.
So,
and just like Redding Airport, their airport, they've worked their tush off, and they have pretty much the same flights that we do, except for Seattle, but they have Phoenix instead of right. So they have United, LA, and San Francisco, and they have Denver, and they have Phoenix.
Yeah, they've been kind of one step ahead of us the whole way.
Right.
And that's because the airlines say they have a captive market. You know, for us, it takes 2.5 hours to drive to Sacramento or 3.5 with no traffic, right, to San Francisco. For them, it's 5 hours.
Yep.
So the airlines tend to try them first, and then, you know, we're next in line.
Right. But we seem to have pretty good tandem counties. You know, it's kind of interesting, even though there may be some cultural differences that we keep getting reminded of back and forth. I actually love Humboldt County, and I love the relationship that we're building. And it's great to see these two counties kind of grow at the same pace. So one of the big ones here, obviously, is downtown Redding, right?
Right, yeah.
Downtown seems to be growing significantly.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. And Mr. Rocky, you seem to be right in the middle of it.
Sure. So my name is Rocky Slaughter. I serve as Director of Operations to K2 Development Company, which is one of the main development companies that is putting in some of the structures downtown. And we've got a pretty exciting horizon. I mean, anyone that's been downtown can see there's a new sign, there's a new street, there's new buildings. You know, if people haven't been here for a while and they come back, and a lot of my friends have, they've gone off to college or they started a business somewhere else or whatever, and they've come back recently, and two friends of mine I can think of specifically, it's almost like they've got this cognitive dissonance of, oh my God, what's going on here? We've got so much change. Stuff that has been talked about for decades is now coming to fruition. So where all these people, these community leaders, were kind of just out there saying, oh, something's going to happen, it's finally coming through. So I think we're in good shape, and gosh, I can't wait for the next decade, really.
So what was you just said? It was they talked about it for decades, right?
Yeah.
So what was the switch? I mean, it must have been, in your opinion, what was the switch to going from talking to doing?
I don't know if there was really a switch. It's these things take time, and people probably don't realize how much time they take because there's funding sources that you need to go after. There's land use decisions that need to happen. There's planning efforts that need to happen way before specific plans, all kinds of things. And so I think people were always doing behind the scenes, but the action comes when the funding source is landed, the deal is closed, and all of a sudden you've got demolition. And then you've got construction.
And then you're committed.
Then you're committed.
Once the demolition starts.
Yeah, and that, a lot of things happened in concert, right? We had the downtown specific plan, which showed that the municipality was supporting investment in a certain area. And then as a former EDC president, I saw, you know, a lot of the investment activities. And we had a lot of younger people in the community, right, who wanted to build wealth and invest here, start investing downtown, and the combination of those things. And, you know, once people see stuff like that, it accelerates, right? Because more people join in. And I guess the most exciting thing, and I told you this the other day, Nigel, was it's great. You know, we have new buildings, we have people living there, but is downtown becoming a magnet for the surrounding area? And Rocky, the night that, and K2 drove this, where they had the event to showcase the electrification of Umbrella Alley,
yeah,
and the steam whistle.
Yeah.
There were like 2,000 people downtown. And I told you, Nigel, yep, I was curious whether that was going to draw everybody away from the other venues. And I walked to Final Draft. I walked over by the food trucks. I walked to 1724 down. Yeah, all of them. Market Street, Fusion,
it's everywhere. Great to
hear. Cedar Crest, they were all still packed.
That's how that event was designed, so I'm glad it accomplished its mission.
Yeah.
So, and it was probably the most fun I've ever had downtown. You know, I've been here on and off for 33 years now, mm-hmm, and there's a couple events that stick out, and that's definitely one of them. Market Fest, when that was there. Of course, I got to toot my old horn, but the water slide, that was pretty fun.
Yeah, I remember the effort it took to get that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Slide. Something about timing there. I kind of learned a little bit of a lesson. But
by the way, I should add, even though I want to support the economy, I did not have a cocktail at each one of those places. I wouldn't have been able to walk by the end of it.
Right. Well, so that is one of the things I do like about downtown Reading is that it's obviously growing, and it looks great, and everything's walkable.
Right.
As opposed to some of the bigger cities, obviously, where, you know, walking ain't going to happen.
Exactly. And I think that's actually one of the objectives of the funding sources that we were able to tap into is creating a walkable, livable, green, smart growth kind of city. And when people collaborate in a smaller space, there's a better experience.
Yep.
It's more intimate. I think there's kind of more collaboration between the different businesses that people can walk in and out. And so a lot of people ask about the commercial space on the bottom of Market Center. I think when that fills out, we're going to see a complete change in the culture and the energy of that area. And things are happening, so things I can't talk about. But
well, you know, this is where Tony comes in. Okay, so anyway, this is the end of the first segment. The time flies on this show, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you very much, and we will be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate. When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning. We're back. That was a quick break. And Tony, the other two have left.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to do it on
still. So this is great. So we were talking about the growth of downtown, and as you were saying, it does actually tie together with Eureka. Eureka is their downtown, their historic downtown is walkable, right? And it's great, and they've been trying to revitalize that. And it is what's cool about Eureka is being able to, it feels like you're going back in time, right? The old historic downtown. But each of our cities is definitely a hub, right? So people come, they hang out for a couple of days, and then they, or 1 or 2 days, and then they figure out what to do. And the cool thing about California Adventure District is the fact that we have these hubs where people can come and they can fly into, and then instead of just going around for a day or two, we're putting together these 10 and 14 day itineraries where they actually hit, you know, 6 national forests, right?
Yeah, and it's great that if they do day trips, and there's so many opportunities for day trips, they can come back to a city like Eureka or a city like Redding, which more and more is having great accommodations, great restaurants, you know, brew pubs, walkable things, so that they can enjoy their evening too. It just creates a better overall experience.
Well, that's right. So for me, when I was semi-randomly putting together the California Adventure District map with the 12 counties, not really knowing anybody, it was Redding is a natural, you know, center of the wheel spoke, and then Arcata and Humboldt is actually a natural secondary spoke, right? Because we have this this strange little barrier between the mountains and Humboldt. I was when you leave Arcata and you can buck up towards Redding, you know, that ridge you go up, it always reminds me of the King Kong wall, right? Like this wall you got to go up and over. But they have a great spoke system too. But they, just like us, are dealing with, okay, now all these people are coming here. What do we do with them, right? And number two is, how do we maintain this?
That's right. You got to keep it interesting so they want to come back again.
That's right. So, getting back to the K2 situation,
sure.
Issue here in downtown. So, tell us about, are these buildings here full?
Well, yes. Yeah, so, Market Center is a 82-unit residential affordable housing mixed-use building, and that was leased up, the residential portion, almost immediately. There's some rules that require us to get things leased up fairly quickly. I mean, that's the point of the funding programs behind affordable housing. But then there's the commercial space, which is 22,000 square feet on the first floor. And we are in active negotiations with several different leads. And but what I've learned about the real estate industry is it takes a certain type of tenant to move into a cold shell building where you have to build out everything, all the tenant improvements. There's quite a bit of work there, quite a bit of investment. You have to be really committed to having a business open for a long time for that to make sense.
Right.
So there's two prongs there. The first one being, are they the type of tenant that could withstand something like that, coming in and making all these improvements? it's always really sweet to be the person after the person that does all the tenant improvements, because then you just move in. And then the other side of that is, do they fit our criteria for what would create a good mix downtown? We didn't want to just lease to anybody or the, you know, person that shows up first, and we get Chasta County Health and Human Services in there, because that's like what we've done in downtown before. Nothing wrong with Chasta County Health and Human Services, but if we want an active and vibrant downtown, we want the Health and Human Services people to be doing business with different restaurants.
Businesses.
Yeah, fast casual and boutiques, and that's where the commerce should happen, mm-hmm. not necessarily the, you know, professional offices. So we're being very intentional about who we're trying to bring to that space, and we're hoping to have some things that really elevate the offerings around here. So that's kind of one of the projects that I work on a little bit.
Yeah. Any conversations about parking?
Oh, yeah.
That always seems to be a hot topic in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of odd. I remember having my studio on the corner there.
Right, yeah.
California,
yeah.
Placer.
Exactly.
And even with the gigantic parking structure across the street, people said, oh, there's no parking here. I'm like, but this is like 1,500 parking spaces right across the street.
Right. If we travel a little to the south, we realize parking becomes a lot more scarce really quickly. Sure. But, yeah, it's a popular topic of conversation. I think the city is kind of looking to enhance its parking management effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're working through the details right now. And once you have parking managed, it won't seem like there's scarcity because you'll have throughput. You'll have some spaces that are paid, some spaces that aren't. And naturally, you'll start to see one or two spaces open. And it won't be a frustrating experience. Actually, it would be a pleasant experience, I would think.
So I'm going to ask you a loaded question, because for California Adventure District, you know, Redding is a hub, or the hub, right? It's the center of the wheel. We have a 30% increase in airport traffic coming in and out daily now. It's kind of crazy, which is great. And we're on I-5. What for you is missing?
Mm. you posed that question before we started here. I haven't had enough coffee to get around to it.
Because one of the conversations we're starting to have with the county. So the first step is to take stock of what we got together. Like what do we have, right? So instead of just one national forest or one national park, we have six, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have four national recreation areas, and we have hundreds of mountains, and we have all these collective assets that are great. We also have these collective events that are happening, right? So we try and promote the events that are happening in Humboldt, promote the events that are happening here and in Siskiyou County. And, you know, Lassen and Plumas. But the second phase is going to be what's missing, right? To identify collectively, like, what's missing from this big picture.
Sure. So one thing I've focused on for a long time is people and talent. That's not to say at all that we don't have people or we don't have talent here. I hear all the time from Dignity Health or from engineering firms that we lack a certain type of professional that's coming into the industry.
Uh-huh.
And I remember kind of growing up, it seemed like we had tons of professionals here of a certain kind of age. And I think if we're focusing on the people to bring them up here, the things that you're talking about will probably happen naturally, whether it's diversity of shopping experiences or different businesses coming about or economic development. And that's a little bit of a different approach than saying, like, we're going to have this land set aside for the specific purpose of landing this whale business that's going to then come in and revive us. Focusing on those people, especially those people that grew up here and have the possibility of coming back, I think
the boomerang effect.
Yeah, if you can call it that. Sometimes it has a little bit of a negative connotation. So I think it's kind of it's a positive to come back and rebuild your hometown. But I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, people.
Well, building on that, you know, there's also active stuff.
Right.
Simpson University has introduced four engineering programs, and there are a number of people that are already enrolled for September. So little by little, we identify the gaps,
right,
and we fill them.
Yeah.
So that's also what we noticed, what they're noticing, obviously, in Humboldt with the designation of a polytechnic university now. It's going to attract a different type of person, a different type of student with different types of outlooks. And in the long term, it'll actually reshape, in some ways, the vision of Humboldt, right? And so they're trying to be ahead of the curve there. So it's the same thing here, right? Now, as far as California Venture District, have you ever ventured into the industry of outdoor recreation or the business of outdoor recreation in any way, shape, or form?
Ventured into outdoor business. Sorry, since the last time we talked, I became an attorney, so I think of it every little word.
My friends, you are here, but on notice because you are paying attention.
So, do you mean, have we entered into some kind of business or, outdoor recreation? I can't think of, I had a postcard business at one point. That was like,
that's it.
Photography. I mean, I am a consumer of these, goods and services all the time. Rental kayaks, rental boats. But no, I don't think I've entered into that sphere.
Have you seen a change? You've obviously seen a change in Reading. Because I've known you, I don't know how many years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here 11 years. So even I've seen a change, right, here in Reading. I've noticed a change. But you've obviously been here a little longer. And you were gone and you come back.
Right.
You've seen a big change?
Big change in focus, it seems like. We're starting to elevate the ceiling of what we can expect, which is nice. Because there's always this kind of current that we should keep things the same. We should, we've got these traditions, and I think people are starting to warm up to the fact that we've got different opportunities now.
Mm-hmm.
We could have a walkable downtown when we've got businesses thriving in those new retail spaces. And there's more coming online, too, in the Block 7 project, and other developers around town are doing a great job, too, of doing some new developments. So,
Tony, you've been around here quite a while, mm-hmm. and you were you had a front row seat.
Yeah.
And to a lot of the change. Can you summarize anything for you what may or may not be missing? If you had to make a guess. And this is the reason I'm having this conversation now is because we're going to have this conversation 2 years from now.
Sure.
And it'd be great to be able to look back at it.
Yeah, obviously there's a lot of good things happening, right? Rocky mentioned the talent thing. I think when Chad talks about real estate, there's going to be some more data that comes to light. But probably the biggest thing is changing our brand to the outside world.
Right.
And there have been 7 or 8 accolades that we've gotten in nationally recognized magazines related to business, our startup community, our travel. They said one of them was, you're the number 2 staycation place. If you live there, why would you go on vacation, right? So it's been a broad-based set of recognitions, and we need to be proud of ourselves, mm-hmm. right? We're doing things that are being recognized, right? And you almost have to, you know, live up to that. The other thing, I told you the story in the past. I went to Cleveland in 2016, and I had been there 20 years before, 25 years before, and I thought, Cleveland, oh, this is... But when I went back in 2016, they had changed everything downtown. Every single person, whether it was a concierge, yep. a taxi driver, an Uber driver, walking on the street, convenience store, they were all brand ambassadors. They were so proud about the investment that was made and all the great things that were happening. They were the best advertisement you could have. We need more of that here.
That's right. California Adventure District ambassadors, Reading ambassadors, Shasta County ambassadors. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get Shasta County to get into the space of tourism.
Mm.
So we're working on that.
Great.
You know? You gave an introduction to another really good friend of mine, Mr. Chad Phillips. I've known you a long time, too. It's kind of funny seeing all three of you together in the same room. So Mr. Chad Phillips, hope you don't have much time now, but you're going to be hanging out here for the next 30 minutes with Vista Real Estate. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Nigel. Thanks for having me.
You're
How
welcome.
Are you doing?
And Vista, Chad, yeah, I always say Chad instead of Vista, but Chad is definitely a supporter of California Venture District. And I want to thank you publicly for obviously supporting what we're doing here.
You're welcome. Appreciate you doing it and taking the initiative.
It's been an interesting ride.
Initiative too late?
I'm committed now. It's actually a corporation. So I'm definitely jumped in, jumped right in. You want to give us a quick overview of where you see ShastaCon right now with the real estate? I mean, you have 1 minute, and then you can get right into it.
Okay, I'd love to. If it's only 1 minute, I'm gonna give you an unsolicited opinion.
Uh-oh.
and further what the three of you have already said. And you know, it's interesting. It's even though we're saying leverage our assets, right, of this wonderful region, community, area, we're also saying, you know, focusing on what do we need to do, what should we have, and I really think. I travel extensively, a lot of different markets, et cetera. I'm one of these guys. I get into a town and I like to stay downtown and walk. You know, I'm a chunky guy. For those of you that know me, you know that. For those of you that don't know me, now you do. but I love to walk. I love to walk around. And my takeaway is always for day-to-day living, right? And if you appreciate the assets that we do have in this community, this is the best place to live. I mean, exactly. It really is for day-to-day living. We have one traffic metering light, and it hasn't been activated. I came from the Bay Area, from what they call Silicon Valley. I used to wait at a metering light 45 minutes to get in to stop and go traffic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with just quality of life, right? Mm-hmm. If you enjoy and appreciate the outdoors at all, this community is so civic-minded and so supportive. I don't care which position you are, left, right, middle, up, down, whatever. We all tend to work together when it comes to this community and supporting our community. So you know, I know it's a greater challenge, but boy, there sure is a demographic. This is the tie into real estate, I promise. There is a demographic that appreciates, you know, our wheel as it exists. You know, we see people coming from out of the area and, you know, folks have, you know, different varying opinions regarding that. But they do see our assets as assets. You know, one thought was when the car fire was very early on, one of our locations is in the Sunset Marketplace, Eureka Way in Buena Ventura. And the firefighters were there from all the different communities. And I thought, wow, what a sacrifice these people are making, leaving their homes, right, leaving their daily routine. So we just set up tables. And I know Nigel's giving me this,
I'm getting the hammer signal from our producer friend over here. So why don't you hold that thought.
Okay.
And we will be right back.
All right.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Well, welcome back, California Vintage District Show. Before we get started with Chad's amazing point and story, I believe our producer would like to make an announcement.
I would. The 9/11 Memorial Wall is in Anderson right now. It's going to be there till tomorrow. It's at the Northern California Veterans Museum property at 4659 Ronda Road. And tonight there is a fundraising gala dinner. That starts at 6:00, I believe. Tickets are $35.
Are you going?
I am going, actually.
There you go.
So, I just wanted to let everybody know.
Thank you. Notice how he has such a great radio voice?
He does.
You know, I'm working on it. Well, welcome back to the California Venture District Radio Show. My name is Nigel. I have three co-pilots with me today. Mr. Rocky Slaughter from K2. It's kind of a weird thing from K2 because I've known you so long. So I just call you Rocky. And Tony Giovanellio, a former president of Shasta EDC. I like to consider you a man of many hats, right?
And no hair.
And no hair. And my good friend, Chad Phillips of Vista Real Estate, who's just been a great pillar of this community, I believe. So as you were saying, you know, we may not always know, the value of our assets, right? And that actually kind of happened to me when I moved up here, like 11 and a half years ago, I could safely say that I speak for 90% of Southern California that, you know, California ends at the San Francisco-Sacramento line, right? We have no clue that this is even up here. And then when I did move up here, it didn't take me long to realize that, hey, this place is actually kind of amazing, especially as you branch out, right?
Yeah, and, you know, it was interesting, like I was saying before the break, right at the starting point, you know, within the first few days of the car fire, the firefighters from all the western states were staging in the parking lot where our business is. And I just thought of the sacrifice they make, et cetera. So we set up some tables, put out coffee, bagels, whatever, and thanked them. And one of the firefighters, he was from a crew from somewhere in Southern California. It was L.A. County. I don't remember where. And he said, oh, yeah, we're heading out towards French Gulch. We're still fighting over there, even though it's, you know, jumping this way. And I said, oh, wow. I said, you know, be safe. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your sacrifice. And he said, gosh, it sure is beautiful out there. It was literally on fire, right, scorching our earth, taking our trees, decimating Whiskey Town, you know, in my opinion. And he says, it's beautiful. And I said, well, you should have seen it a week ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it really would have blown you away. And he said, no, you don't understand. You know, where I come from, I see concrete block walls. You know, I see, you know, cars on the roads. I see this, that, and the other. So leveraging your assets, it was really interesting to hear a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a different baseline in how he was perceiving, you know, some of our assets. It was just really an eye-opening moment, you know. And so now when we go out and hit the trails or hit the lake, it's, you know, lakes, river, it's a good thing to remember, you know, not to dwell so much on maybe some of the elements of those assets that are no longer here, but the assets that we still have. And that's what, here's finally a segue to real estate, and that's what's bringing many of our, you know, out of area buyers to our community, you know, is the enjoyment of outdoor activities. We've always had, I've been in real estate up here about 16 years. You know, we've always had the equity refugees, you know, people call them the equity refugees, the folks primarily from the Greater Bay Area, some from Southern California, a little bit from Pacific Northwest, et cetera. And that's a different demographic. You know, that's typically someone that's on a short timeline for retirement, maybe retired already. Well, due to the work from home, that's the label we'll give it, the work from home culture that started, you know, March-ish of 2020, you know, we're seeing a different demographic attracted to our area. You know, we're seeing younger folks coming in with younger children, you know, school-age children, you know, which is good for the area. I think it's good to have a, you know, a blend. But it's wonderful to hear what they say about our assets, you know. I won't get too granular about that, but, you know, there are certain, you know, we all live here, maybe raise children, you know, whatever.
So what do they say?
Well, I'll tell you the one thing they say. This was really nice to hear. So an executive from Google moved up here with his three school-age children, and he was telling me how refreshing it is that the teachers in our community where his children go to school communicate via email. He came from the Silicon Valley. It's so refreshing and nice that these teachers communicate via email. They're wonderful teachers, you know. And I asked him, I said, you're in Silicon Valley. I said, do they not use email down there?
He works for an email company.
Literally, right. I mean, and they do a little search, too. But
well, yeah.
No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
But he told me that they were, you know, in their school district, his experience, you know, I don't want to make blanket statements, but he said that they did not, the teachers down there, you know, same segment of the academic, you know, high schools, junior highs, whatever. We're not communicating. And he said, you know, that's one of the great things here. And he said, anyways, his kids are having a great experience here. They were able to take the same classes, AP classes. The kid said it was very similar. So, great experience. But as with many people that I've met, that have come to our community, he made an interesting statement. He said, I wasn't looking to move to Reading. I wasn't looking to move to Reading. He said, I was kind of just plinking around, looking online. I found a house, and then I looked at the satellite imagery, and I saw a lot of water, and I saw a lot of mountains, and Googled and found that we actually had accolades and awards for our trail systems, too.
Mm-hmm.
Loves the outdoors. So no ties to our community, but, you know, brought himself, his wife, and three children.
But he's
here.
Obviously close enough to Silicon Valley where,
yeah,
if he has to go in.
Yeah, I think, you know, he has to go in every 2-3 weeks, something like that, and there's a little bit of travel. But now, you know, last time I was at the airport, boy, there were 3 regional jets and the 1 twin turboprop. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are 4 planes out there ready to take us to Seattle.
Well, Mr. Tony here, he's been pretty much instrumental in that in the last couple of years. You had a front row seat in getting the airlines here, right?
We've been having fun. Yeah. It's nice when you tell your story and they actually react to it, right?
So do you think we're ready for the Denver experience?
Yeah, I think so. You know, getting the L.A. flight was a real challenge because we had the San Francisco flights. And as you know, when you go to L.A., you fly by San Francisco. So United was really concerned that we were going to draw down on San Francisco. And every other airline would ask us, why isn't United doing L.A.? And so they were all watching how we performed. And when they saw that we added the L.A. flight, got the load factor, and San Francisco actually went up,
mm-hmm.
What happens sometimes is markets are stimulated because there's this more, it's well known that you have service, plus people feel they have alternates if a flight cancels, right? When you only serve one city, it's difficult. And now that we're adding other cities, we're seeing an acceleration. And, you know, we've talked about this, that approximately only 20% of our population that buys tickets here in Shasta County flies out of Shasta County. At our high, it was 34%. So we have a lot of upside potential.
Right. You know, people are still driving to Sacramento.
Yeah. 8 out of 10 are going to San Francisco, Sacramento, or very few to Medford, but yeah.
Hmm. For those who don't, I actually love flying out of Reading when I can, right? Especially on the way back, right? Landing late at night in Sacramento, and all of a sudden you have that 2.5 hour drive back. It's like, oh, no way. But being 5 minutes from town is always good. Chad, so obviously our real estate is being I don't want to say squeezed, but the inventory is low, right?
Yeah, it's
some prices high.
Well, you know, relative term, right?
So
some context, you know. I mean, if our price is high, you know, our prices have definitely appreciated drastically. But again, when you look throughout the state of California, if there's value to an individual in living in this state and they enjoy everything we have to offer from the, you know, mountains to the coast to the wine regions, you know, everything in between, you know, we're still the lowest priced or tied for the lowest price, you know, median price in the state. So when you think of the value, we're talking about leveraging our assets, and I won't go down that road too far, but leveraging our assets, you know, people do buy homes, right? You need a certain number of bedrooms, you need a certain number of bathrooms, you want a yard, a pool, whatever. But really what people are buying when they have the choice is a lifestyle. You know, whether that's grilling in your backyard or living in a region. People buy lifestyles, you know, they don't buy homes. So we've had significant appreciation over the past 2 years, but every market globally, you know, with the exception of, you know, I can think of one a little south of here where they have that airport, mm-hmm. has gone down a tiny bit for the first time ever. But really, you know, real estate has taken off, and it's partly due to demand. Baby boomers coming into the market now. You know, 8-10 years ago, they were saying, baby boomers have been in the market for quite a while. Millennials. 10 years ago, you know, the word was, oh, millennials, you know, have a different value, personal value proposition. They don't want to anchor themselves with a house. Well, millennials were 22 then, you know.
Now they have kids.
They have kids and a dog now, right? Yeah. So, yeah, now they need a yard and a house, and or they want it, I should say.
I think it's definitely true about the lifestyle, you know, people moving here for the lifestyle. I didn't move here for the lifestyle. I moved here to raise my family. But when I got here, I realized, oh, this is actually a really good place to live. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, all it takes is 5 minutes, you know, 5 minutes in either direction, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, yeah, surrounded by forest, mountains, or lakes.
We have an appraiser in our area, a gentleman by the name of Bob Sprankle, and he does a great job. I mean, he's a professional, and he releases a little market data or sends out a little bit of his own kind of synopsis monthly. And it was really interesting for the Redding area, so Redding, not Shasta County. Median price, $447.
Mm-hmm.
So June, we hit $426 or so, you know. Now $447. Well, if you look back a year ago, you know, it was $330 and change. You know, I mean, it's a 40% increase, you know, when you look back a solid year. And most of that appreciation has been June and July. There's really been a hockey stick. So there was reasonable, you know, on track with everything else appreciation. But the last 2 months has really taken off. You know, and so our price is high.
Higher, you know, I meant to say higher.
Yeah, no.
I mean, you know, Westwood or, you know, L.A., it's, you know,
San Jose, street, yeah. 1.3 million, 1,300 square feet, and you've got a sound wall and a freeway behind you. So,
right. Well, I'll tell you what, when we get back, this is going to be our last break. We'll put on a DeLorean and go into the future. How's that?
Perfect.
All right, sounds great. Good.
Thanks, guys. We'll be right back. Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, good morning. Anybody recognize that song? Probably recognize the band, maybe. Maybe not the song.
Yeah.
That deep bass.
Mm-hmm.
That groove.
I recognize
that,
it.
Yeah, that song is in memory of Mr. Dusty Hill from ZZ Top.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Yep.
You know, saw them many times. It was always that great little band from Texas put on a huge show.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing groove. Welcome back to the last segment of the California Adventure District radio show, show number 11. I can't believe this is happening here. We have Mr. Rocky Slaughter, Tony Giovanelio, and Chad Phillips. And out of all three, the one who doesn't have a cap yet, California Adventure District cap, would be Mr. Rocky Slaughter. So,
all right.
You get to take those with you.
Very nice.
So we're talking about Shasta County and the future and the growth. one of the conversations that that I've had over the last 4 or 5 years is that growth is somewhat inevitable, and you can either choose to be in front of it or behind it, right? And one of the things we're trying to do with the California Adventure District as far as the branding and getting into the lifestyle situation is in some ways trying to be ahead of the growth and self-determine to a certain extent who would be attracted to come here and who wouldn't be, right? So that's you know, that that is the goal. And I've been fortunate enough now for the last, what, 2-3 years to travel throughout the 12 counties and actually dabble in and get into and meet people who are in the business of outdoor recreation, whether it be the whitewater rafters or the people doing the equestrian and the rodeos and the hiking and the biking and all this. And there's so many mom-and-pop companies out there who were doing really good stuff, right? And I always like to say that the outdoor recreation industry and the business of outdoor recreation in the California Adventure District in our top 12 counties is underdeveloped. Not undeveloped, but underdeveloped. Like these assets that you mentioned, Chad, they're already here, right? They're just, well, a lot of them are above the surface, but from a people standpoint, now you mentioned the talent, you know, the people wanting to come here, it's all just under the surface, but it's already here. Mm-hmm. It just needs to be developed. So if you had to put it on a future, a forward-looking perspective, Mr. Rocky Slaughter, where do you see this community, Redding specifically, and maybe even greater Shasta County going next couple of years?
I do see a lot of growth in the recreation sector, and I think that's kind of probably beating a dead horse by now. Everyone's been talking about this forever. But what I'm discovering is, like, if you go up to McLeod Falls, or I went camping at Manzanita Lake a couple weeks ago, there is a much larger crowd that has discovered our area now, almost to an annoying extent. Like, there's this selfish part of me that says, you know, we kind of have this undiscovered gem, and that's why it's great. And then we also want our economy to grow. So I think as more of the world discovers us, and that's also happening through, I mean, it used to be traditional media. You had one message that was being broadcast through the United States on television or whatever. Now we've got social media where everybody Instagrams their last moment on, you know, Mossbray Falls, mm-hmm. or all these other locations that people now then want to go to. And I think people are looking for more of a diversity in their experience than, say, going to the tourist trap of what is the pier in San Francisco or something like that.
So the cool thing about what you just said, right? So what we branded the California Adventure District is 38,000 square miles. So some of the more well-known places may be getting more frequent visitors now, but there are tons and tons of other falls and lakes and stuff that we don't mention.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
That you can just go find, and there's absolutely no one there. I mean, that is the beauty about the beauty of what we're trying to do is that it's such a vast area compared to some of the other regions in California, and our population density is I don't want to say zero, but compared to like the Bay Area and Southern California, it's next to nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Mr. Tony, if you was to put on a future-looking hat.
Well, from an economic standpoint, right, because, you know, that's what my recent history is, it's really exciting, and I'll tell you why. If you look at Redding and you look at the successful business people here, they have created a lot of employment, right? And they invest in growing their businesses and other businesses. Tax revenue grows. And they also support all of our nonprofits, which add a lot of value in our community. So now I look at all these recreational assets out there. A lot of them are 50% full or 70% full, which is just getting by. So even the assets that we have out there that are in the recreational industry, if they're up to 90 and 100%, they're going to be wildly profitable. They're going to build wealth. They're going to extend employment. They're going to invest in their communities. They're going to invest in nonprofits. It just amplifies itself. And then when people see that opportunity, and we talked about gaps, they
yep.
start filling the gaps, and you get more new businesses, and it just – it gets exponential, and that is exciting.
That's good. That's a good commercial right there. You know, Mr. Chad Phillips, so you've been doing this long enough to where I know you can't make full predictions in real estate. That's like a suicide thing to do. But if you was to put on a little bit of a future-looking hat, what would you say?
I'd say, you know, thinking about our local market, our local home buyers, as well as I know I focused in the prior segment on the out-of-area buyers coming here. But, you know, affordability is key, certainly.
Right.
And even with drastic price appreciation, we're still very affordable. You know, my wife, runs our Vista Home Loans business, separate from Vista Real Estate. And so, you know, in talking to her, and it's really interesting because there's a little bit of a Mason-Dixon line there, right, where you don't cross over. Mm-hmm. But, you know, hey, who's, to my wife, who's buying this $400,000 house now? You know, that used to be the equity gypsy 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Who's buying it now? And she said, hey, it's young couples, you know, wife's a school teacher, husband's a bartender. I mean, you know, you can afford a nice home, and not that the home has to define, you know, having a quality life, but affordability is key. So, you know, when you look at the median price and then the median wage or the median family income, you know, it's not that far out of whack. I mean, you look at other areas, you know, Rocky was saying parking, right? Well, there isn't much parking south because the land's so expensive. Mm. Well, the land's so expensive, the houses are expensive. So, so I think, that, you know, we'll probably see future reasonable, appreciation. You know, I think we've got a very large national builder coming to town and taking on some projects now. I think as they see success with that, we may see further investment by them and further building. There's definitely a shortage of homes available in our area based on demand, you know, contrasted with demand. So, you know, in March we had 338 homes on the market. Traditionally, you go back before March of 2020, and there'd be nearly 1,000 homes on the market. Mm-hmm. I know. And it was still a healthy market. You know, you look at that 6 months, you know, time on market to sell, and that used to be kind of normal. Mm-hmm. You know, now it's measured in days, sometimes hours. So inventory's up to almost 500 units, you know, so there is a little bit of selection.
Is normalizing a little bit?
It's still very low, still very low. Mm-hmm. I mean, typically in the summer, you would see, you know, 1,200, 1,500 units. So we're, you know, a third of that. So units are coming on. It's just that demand is so high that you have to look at your churn, right? So there are units coming on, but they're coming off the market very quick. So now I would say, I mean, statistically, you know, there are 470-ish homes on the market. There are almost 600 in escrow. So if you figure escrow is typically a 45-day timeline, you know, and you look at 450, 670.
1 month inventory. Yeah,
1 month. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know. That's good. Things are really moving. Right. So I think quality of life, affordability, and reasonable interest rates, I think we're still going to see reasonable growth.
Cool.
Hopefully it's, yeah.
So reasonable. As we wrap up here, a little bit of a personal question. So where do you guys like to go here for outdoor recreation? Where do you like to go here locally?
My gem is still Whiskeytown. I love Whiskeytown. I love the trails in Whiskeytown. I love being on the water in Whiskeytown. I mean, Whiskeytown is unbelievable. And, you know, to Rocky's point, you know, over the last year during boating season, is it a little busier on the lake? Yeah, our favorite little cove, beach, whatever, you know, we either have to share or find another one. But, you know, I still think about the fact that, you know, we live on the west side, so we're 20 minutes to that lake. I mean, we literally have it in our backyard. You know, if you're in North Reading, Central Reading, maybe you're 30 minutes to some sort of water. You've got the river, you can take a float, you know, fly fishing. So anyways, our favorite is Whiskeytown, both
Mr. Tony?
Water and trails.
Well, it's been Shasta Lake. You know, I'm a houseboater and I've had other boats, and when we moved to Reading 23 years ago, I trailed the boat from Long Island, and it went straight from Long Island right to Bridge Bay Marina.
Is it
didn't
still there?
Stop anywhere else.
Is it still there?
Awesome.
No, I've had a few others since then. But no, I have a houseboat there.
Okay. Mr. Rocky?
This is an impossible question for me because I'm all over the place all the time. I mean, from here to Fall River Mills, I mean, there's just tons of recreational activity. Probably the most recent favorite has been Lassen Volcanic National Park. There's just a lot of diversity of experience there that you can, I mean, it's not that you just go to the mountain and climb to the top, which you can in a day. And that's actually pretty cool. I've climbed to the top of a mountain. A lot of people can't say that. But then, there's the Bumpus Hell. So there's some volcanic stuff that you can see. There's Manzanita Lake. There's all these other lakes. Helen, beautiful. Lots of swimming area. So
that's good. Well, personally, I like an excuse to go to the coast. I love going over to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
I love being able to see the ocean.
Can't take L.A. out of them.
Yeah. Well, no, there's something about being able to see the edge. I don't know what it is, right? So that's the only thing I miss about L.A.
Look at Nigel's complexion. He needs the coast right now.
I do. Thanks, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Nigel.
Bye-bye.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.